All right, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Blindside Blitz. I am Jim McPhee, and of course, alongside of me is Mr. Joe DiCapita.
What's going on, Blitz Nation? Welcome back, and we are going to be talking about some big-time playoff scenarios that are upon us right now. Seeding, who we think might have a best chance of getting in, who we think that might be sliding a little bit. So it'll be definitely an intriguing conversation. But before we get to that, I want you to help us out with our channel here. Head over to YouTube. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. Hit the like while you're there. Share it to all your family and friends. And of course, comment down below, because we're live right now. Make a comment down below whether you want to ask a question or you want to give your opinion about something we're talking about. That's what it's all about, being interactive. We want to prove to you that we are the most interactive NFL talk show out there. And it's simple as that. Also, single guys out there, if you're having a hard time finding the G spot, well, I got the spot for you. You just got to look up grumblingsmedia.com. Head over to the website there where you can check out podcasts like ours, but also other articles, whether it be sports, entertainment, sports, entertainment, and political. If you're into that sort of thing. You can also support the channel even further, heading over to rumble.com, or bring us along on the go anywhere you get your podcasts: Apple, Google, Spotify, and Pandora.
That's right, Joe, and I hope you had a good, happy Thanksgiving out there. You know, I thought it was good. You know, I hope you and your family are well. And we had some games that were pretty crazy here. Matt Eberflus now is officially fired. Now,
just check him off. Check him off the list.
You knew check that had to be coming that next day, though. Like right after Joe. After that, I mean, that was embarrassing, right?
Did you happen to see the blow up at the post press conference?
No.
Jalen Johnson was losing his mind in the middle of Eberflus's press conference, yelling at him, like the whole locker room apparently was up in arms after that game. They've had it with him. He completely lost the whole team. And the GM and the owner stated that after that game, it didn't matter what happened, that he was getting fired. So they've seen enough.
Yeah, and you knew definitely after that, like with that scenario, you practiced that scenario multiple times, you would think, you know, in the off season, you know, it's a couple of seconds to go right here. They're even, you know, methodically driving down. They're in field goal range, even though with the penalty got knocked out, still had it within their grasp. You were almost just about guaranteed a field goal here, and you botched that so badly. And even the reaction afterwards, you knew it was completely done, because afterwards, he looked just as shocked that the game was over as everybody else.
You know what's like, funny, though, is the fact that Eberflus, throughout that game, he made very bad decisions throughout that game. Mm-hmm. And you think about the challenge early on. Like, he threw a challenge flag when the play, like, there's no reason to challenge it. It was pretty, you know, clear cut and dry. And he still threw the flag anyway, lost the timeout already earlier in that game. And it's like, dude, what are you doing? Are you trying to get fired? Yeah. Because that's what it looked like almost. Like, you can't be that bad at that level as a coach. But apparently, Eberflus is that guy.
Here, hold my beer. Yes, now, I can. I can.
Now, I will say that Eberflus is a good defensive mind, and that's, you know, the Chicago defense was playing pretty darn good throughout the season.
Yeah.
But he's definitely, we know, unequivocally, not a head coach. Mm-hmm. Never again.
Right. And that's what I mean. You're watching that. Like, I'm running down not even a sideline, but down the side of my TV car trying to call a timeout. Like, what are you doing? You know? He's not, you know? So it was crazy. But, Joe, yeah, absolutely. We had a lot of good games here, a lot of crazy stuff going on. I thought Cincinnati was going to bring it. They bring enough offense. They just, the defense couldn't stop enough. Some points that are getting put up here.
Yeah, the defense is so bad.
And then even last night's game, even with that, you know, Jameis Winston here in the Broncos. Against the Broncos here too, and the Broncos even put, you know, allowing that many points. I mean, it was pretty crazy here. You know, knowing that they had a good defense here and the way that offense is running. But
I mean, to be fair, that Browns offense has been playing much better with Winston as the starter. Just Winston as the starter hasn't been playing better himself. You know what I mean? So, like, the guy does well. Like, I mean, look at what he had, 497 passing yards in that matchup, put up a lot of points, but also you turned the ball over not just a pick, but two pick sixes, which clearly determined the rest of the game. Like, if he avoids one of them, even if not both of them, Browns most likely win that game.
Yeah.
His whole career has been like this, though. He's shown flashes of doing well, and then Jameis
does why he holds him there, and he's not a starter ever. Right there, with that stat, he's putting himself back with Matt Schaub. Remember, Matt Schaub was big with the pick sixes all the time.
Yeah.
But, Joe, it's getting closer to the playoff time. We like to talk playoffs every now and then here, too, coming up as we're creeping up on here, getting towards the holiday and the Christmas season, too. Yeah. So we never do power rankings on this show. You know, show never. You can't say never because this is our inaugural year doing this show. Yeah. On our other show, we definitely don't. But we decided to do something a little different here. So instead of doing my power rankings, top five or whatever, the AFC, NFC combined or whatever, I thought it'd be interesting to kind of look at the playoff picture and you know, who's in the hunt right now, and then a couple that have already locked, and kind of give my rankings automatically right now where they kind of stand. And then just, you know, talk a little bit about the teams and kind of why in a sense.
After this week. Two of them we just throw out of the way, Chiefs and Bills, right? They're locked in. We don't really need to spend too much time there.
Not too much time, but I want to give you my placing on those. So we'll go right into the AFC right now. And a lot of people, you know, because, you know, you look at the Chiefs still only have one loss here. But for me, for the power rankings, I got to put the Buffalo Bills as number one.
Yeah, I agree.
Just because how they've even been able to win, and they have one more loss than the Chiefs. But besides that, you know, they played tougher competition. They're putting up more points against competition that they really should be able to beat. Mm-hmm. And they showed they could beat in any kind of weather here, too. Yes, Kansas City can do it. They've been able to do it in some cold games, too. But look at what they did against the 49ers in this past game with the weather there in Buffalo. Playing the smart game, you know, running the football, you know, going the north and south on those runs, getting ahead of speed before you go. Josh Allen playing on the top of his game right now. Amari Cooper on that one touchdown, too, as well, having the mindset to get the catch, and before the whistle is blown, pitch it back to Josh Allen to actually throw that pass, get the reception.
That was a little bit of a botch play.
Yeah. I mean, it was a makeshift game, only in those types of games, though, right, Joe?
They asked both those players, Amari Cooper and Josh Allen, was that planned? Because it looked like it was planned, in a sense. And they both were like, no, Amari Cooper goes, I don't know what Josh was doing over there, so I thought he wanted the ball. So I just gave it to him. And Josh Allen's like, no, I just kind of went over there in case something happened. And here it turns out to be one of those kind of like.
I was there. It was in the moment.
It ends up being one of those types of plays that we have grown accustomed to seeing with the Chiefs on how they're being very creative and doing, you know, pitching the ball and stuff. Like, you look at Travis Kelce lately. That's what he's been doing a little bit more often now. Now the Bills are in the mix. And Patrick Mahomes, of all people, commented on it and said, hey, That was a pretty special play. It's something that we kind of do, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what for a team that, you know, the run game hasn't been the best this year, you know, James Cook has done well, Davis has done well at times, but in a game like that, that's where you know, it all matters. Mm-hmm. And you can just, as long as your game plan right and you got that offensive line working, you can do that, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and the thing is with this team, with Matt Milano too, he wasn't a big of a factor in this game, but the fact that having him back and having the team get healthy right now for this late push, I think is also the reason why I have them here as ranked number one in the AFC right now.
Yeah, and the Bills, like you just said, they're getting healthier. They're not just healthier, like they're almost damn near complete. Mm-hmm. Like after missing out on Matt Milano pretty much most of the season until last week, he started to get, you know, dip his toe in the water, so to speak, and get right back into the flow of things. He was a little rusty early in the game, but then progressively got better as the game went. The Bills, one of the healthier teams, and I'll tell you right now, the Bills are going to be a very tough out in the playoffs when we get around there. The Chiefs, on the other hand, despite their record for me, I don't even have them. If I was going to do a power rankings, I don't have them as
your number two.
As my number two.
Okay.
I mean, honestly, because when you look at what the Chiefs have been able to do, right?
Right.
They got the record 11-1. Great. Awesome. But how have they been able to do that? we're used to the Chiefs blowing out teams.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe not every single week, but we see it. 40 points, 40 high 40s, you know what I mean? And the other team's only got a couple touchdowns or a couple scores at the very least. We're not seeing that this year. Every Chiefs game, they've won by a score. It's right down to the wire most times than not. And when you get to the playoffs, you can't allow a team to hang around.
Mm-hmm.
All these teams are going to bring their A game. Whatever grouping of teams get in the playoffs, everybody takes their gameplay to a whole new level. It's so hard to go through the playoff rounds and even make it to the Super Bowl. I'm not so sure the Chiefs can make it at this point with the way they've been playing. Now, we've talked about in a past show that the Chiefs, we think it, for some of us, might turn it around and we're going to see the Chiefs of old and maybe they can turn it on in the playoffs or what have you. But up to this point, this whole season, we haven't seen it. And so far, it hasn't gotten better. Now, there is some good news for the Chiefs. It sounds like Malcolm Brown, a.k.a. Hollywood Brown, has had his 21-day window open up and looks like he may even be able to make a return this year. Now, I still think he's at least another week away to being healthy enough to do so. But if they were to get another weapon added to this arsenal, then you might be able to see a little bit more out of this team. We've seen Xavier Worthy kind of ascend and become the go-to guy, especially deep.
Mm-hmm.
But you add Hollywood Brown back into this mix with Juju, who now is healthy again, and what they've been able to do with Noah Gray, the other tight end, who's kind of cashing in lately. Maybe this team can figure some things out, but I just don't like how every game seems to be close for them. So that's my little caveat on that.
Right, and I agree with you there, too, to that aspect. The fact that a lot of these games are too close. We joked about, you know, the Carolina game being close.
Yeah.
And it legit was close.
It was.
I mean,
and
it
they
was
almost
a tight
lost.
Game. They almost lost that one. And even the Raiders, again, where we're planning, they're not even on the radar for anything.
Right.
It was tight for a while, too, here. I mean, every single one, they're playing it every game.
Yep.
To where it's a few points, and I think there was even the stat now this year, and they almost kind of brought it out there as like a good stat, but it's right. not really, you know no. what I mean? They're kind of like, oh, the Chiefs, you know, the first team since this time that, you know, each win has been within only a few, like 6 points or something like that, you know, only undefeated or whatever team won it right now, the clinch that's had this many, you know, points between it. And it's not good. And like you said, I thought, when I came up with my list for my scary teams, that the Chiefs were one of those scary teams as well because they weren't playing on all cylinders here. And we were expecting that turnaround, at least I was. And I haven't seen it yet even still. Like you said, it's still – they're still kind of lethargic at times. Patrick Mahomes kind of getting them out of situations, and then also that defense saving grace for them as well. And they just haven't got that click to where I said – oh, boy, this is the Chiefs that we've seen the last two seasons.
No, and that's the other thing, too, right, is Patrick Mahomes himself has not been playing at a high level. He just hasn't. You can try to argue it all you want, but he hasn't. He's been playing pretty subpar, you know, especially for his standards. I've noticed last week against the Raiders, I saw him kind of almost get – he was getting harassed from time to time, but also he was just getting rid of the ball just to get rid of it, really. And also missing some key targets that were open, you know, and it makes me think that for Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, they're not going to get any better offensively unless Mahomes gets better. We've seen him struggle through this year, and he still continues to miss guys once in a while, not saying all the time, but it is there. And in all actuality, the Raiders deserve to win and beat the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, the referees kind of step in at the end and change some things around, change a play call that was already enforced. There's video evidence of the side official blowing the whistle dead, killing the play, and saying false start. It's right on the video. You can even check it out anywhere. To me, it should have been a false start. The Raiders would have had a chance to kick a field goal to win the game. But instead, they changed the call. I don't know how you do this, but they changed the call They got into a conference like we talk about, mm-hmm. how they like to do that all the time. Wasted some more time, then changed the call to something that would suit, would give the Chiefs the ball instead of giving the Raiders another shot. So, Chiefs should have honestly been 11-2.
Right, but then it's even at that point you're like, all right, why do they even need this extra win here? It's like, just leave the call, right? You know, what I mean, especially if it's the right one.
Because there's no guarantee that the Raiders would have made the pick anyways.
Yeah.
But make the game fair.
Right. Like, So you said, you know, Chiefs, they're not your number two. I think right now they would probably be my number two just because, again, I'm kind of waiting where I haven't seen them yet. They've still been able to win. They clinch still, and they do only have one loss. So, mm-hmm. and I credit that defense to what they've been able to do. And,
right.
And because of certain criteria or aspects of some of these other teams,
yeah,
I trust Mahomes still over some of these other guys. Okay. So if they're not your number two, which they're mine, what about for you? Who's your next one in there then?
I would go with Pittsburgh Steelers.
All right.
Pittsburgh Steelers for me because – and I could have easily went with Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
Very
mm-hmm.
easily could have went with Ravens, and I thought about it. But mm-hmm. the reason why I'm going to go with the Steelers is because I think their quarterback can bring them back if needed to.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Like,
right.
he can actually,
yes.
Russell Wilson can bring the Steelers offense back, and we've seen it happen before, where he's had to go down the field and make plays and then score the touchdown at the end. And we've seen him do it. So Lamar Jackson, the problem that I have with Baltimore is I love the Ravens. I think they're a very good team. They're going to be in the playoffs. But what I've noticed in a couple games this year where when the Ravens get behind, and the clock keeps ticking, and it's getting closer, you know, down to the, you know, triple zeros in the fourth quarter. They need Lamar Jackson to help them get down the field and throw the ball a lot more. He struggles. He overthrows guys. He misses them, just flat out misses them. Or even worse, he takes a loss and gets sacked. So if I can't see Lamar Jackson consistently help the team come back from behind and get those tough wins, then I don't have enough confidence in that Ravens offense. I have more confidence in the Steelers. They have a very good defense. Their offense has now come together in full. They have a quarterback that can throw, that can get it to all the receivers across the field, makes all the throws. And you're seeing right now the Steelers at 9-3. I mean, they're not out of. They could end up being the second seed if a team falters one loss or even maybe gets a couple losses down the stretch. These games are critical now. So, give me the Steelers at number two.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you there too. They're actually my number three right there, and probably precisely for the same type of things here. Defense still playing good. Their ability to run the football too, and the passing game since Russell Wilson's kind of get back in there as the starter since coming back from his injury. Now the team looks like it's supposed to be looking. They are sprinkling in Justin Fields here and there now too in those little trick gadget plays too, or every now and then.
Yeah, to run
in the red zone. to do that. That's what the game plan was now too. So, this is the thing. This was a team that I thought maybe would lose this game with Cincinnati trying to fight back with their back against the wall, and they did. I wasn't sure about this with Russell Wilson with this offense. Were they able to go blow to blow with the Cincinnati Bengals here, especially with them against the wall? And it showed to me that this week they were. So they're ready. So some of these games they have going forward, they do have some tough ones. But now I'm feeling confident, really confident about this, and this is why Russell Wilson was brought there, and why I don't have the Ravens there with Lamar Jackson, which I'll get to them right now. Is for me, they're my number four.
Okay.
The Ravens are there, and a lot of people are probably even shocked right now. How do you not have Lamar? And now I'm almost to look at totally throw Lamar off the MVP train right now to where we might go Saquon Barkley, running back, MVP of this league, because Lamar showed it right there in times where they needed him to come back, and it was in their grasp again.
Yeah.
It was right there within their grasp, and even when they went for it on fourth down, there was an out route that was wide open, and he just didn't even see
Sailed it.
He scrambled around. No, and he threw it into double coverage.
Mm-hmm.
Again, for Zay Flowers, he had multiple guys over where you just got to simplify it. Yes, the game is kind of on their line, but You just needed a first down. And yes, Justin Tucker had missed three field goals. They would have won that game anyways outright if Justin Tucker made any of those, or at least all of them. But you get yourself in the field goal range. Now you have an opportunity, and you still had some more time on the clock, and you failed. And like you said, scrambling backwards, those doesn't see anything, and take the sack, which kills the drive, gets you out of field goal range, gets you out of scoring range. And he did that multiple times, especially in this game and a few others in these tight ones, to where, you know, yeah, does he have it within him to do it? Does he have the vision? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. To see the open guys here, the reads, read the defense, because it looked like in that last game that he didn't. He is like had tunnel vision for one guy and where he's going to go. And if not, he was going to try and take off running. And if that door was shut when he was trying to run, pop it back down to the deepest route possible. You know what I mean?
You also notice Lamar when he gets in trouble. And I feel like they have their plays designed specifically for Lamar.
Right.
And the fact that when he gets into trouble, he always has that outlier of the running back to dump it off to. You know, we saw that quite a few times when I don't see anybody. Oh, crap. The pressure's getting on pressure. I can't flip it over to the running back. And he was even missing those throws.
Yes.
So I feel like as long as the Ravens can keep the game close or keep the lead, they'll have a legit chance to win every game. But as soon as they go down by a score or like get down by a couple scores and it's late in the game and they got to come back and they got to score as fast as possible, then get the ball back and go down and score again, I don't think the Ravens offense has that capability. And that's kind of what makes me a little fearful about having them a little bit higher ranked in the power rankings.
All right.
So you can imagine at three is the Chiefs for me.
Yes.
So it's basically I swapped the Steelers, the Chiefs. Bills for me, Steelers number two, Chiefs will be my third. And then at number four, I'm going to do it. I'm going to go Chargers.
All right. Wow.
I'm going to go Chargers.
Chargers. I am shocked.
I'm going to go Chargers at four. And I will tell you my reasons why. Because this team, if you asked me the same question probably like 5-6 weeks in, I still wouldn't pick the Chargers. I wouldn't even think that they would have made the playoffs, honestly. But the fact that they've not only they've kind of changed a little bit of the way they're calling offensive plays, where early on in the season, it was so run heavy, run, and then, oh, it's third and long, we got to throw. You know, they only threw when they needed to. You're seeing a very different offensive play call from Greg Roman in this Chargers offense. They've tweaked it now to where they're implementing more balanced offense. It's not so run heavy anymore. They're allowing Justin Herbert to be Justin Herbert, throwing the ball to Ladd McConkey, the rookie, throwing the ball to Quentin Johnson over top. He's distributing the ball to Josh Palmer, like all these other guys. And don't forget all the tight ends that they got, you know, Will Disley and whatnot. He's spreading the ball around, which is opening up this running game of theirs. So they're not back to the old ways of in weeks 1-4, run. You know, maybe we got to throw or run and run again. You know, it's not so run heavy anymore. They've tweaked it now to where they're more balanced, which is making them even more dangerous. And alongside of that, this Chargers defense has really come together down the stretch, and they are one of the best defenses in football right now. So they say defense wins championships. The Chargers defense has gotten so much better, and this offense has now kind of evolved into what it is today, that gives me a lot of confidence in the Chargers and possibly bucking the trend and doing a lot more things in the playoffs.
Right. And I'm bored with you too as well. I'm going Chargers are next on my rankings here for the AFC. Like you said, they kind of stepped up. Definitely. Went run heavy early.
Yeah.
Now you see Justin Herbert unleashing it. Excuse me. I just still feel though, if they had another weapon, though. Yeah, because Ladd McConkey, it seemed like, especially in that last game, going heavy on him, you can count on him. But a few games ago in a tight game where they could have even pulled out that victory against the Ravens, a couple drop passes here and there, mm-hmm. you know, Palmer and stuff. And these guys, I just, you know, I think if you give them one more guy, this team is going to be a real big contender. But as far as the other teams, though, in this AFC battle for the playoffs, they're sketchy for me still. So that's why mm-hmm. I'm confident on the Chargers with their coaching and Justin Herbert and their defense. Like you said, the mm-hmm. defense, the way they've been playing. Derwin James had a hell of a game in the last one here, yeah. too, especially for him. He, a lot of times, you know, for this defense, he was doing only the only thing in a defense for them at times, you know, when he was on the field. So, yeah, I'm going Chargers on this one next, too, as well.
For me, it'll be the Ravens after that.
Mm-hmm.
And for obvious reasons, like the Ravens are still a really good football team. It's just now that you're going into the next level. When you make the playoffs, because I fully expect them still to make it, obviously.
Yeah, right.
When you get there, you can't allow teams to hang around. And you can't allow – the Ravens themselves can't allow them to get too far behind. Because we've already seen it mm-hmm. in the regular season a couple times, them not being able to come back and win. So we'll see how that all shakes out when they get there to the playoffs. But that's why they are 5 for me.
Yeah, and it's tough, too, looking at the way Justin Tucker's been playing, though, too, lately, too. Yep. You never see – it's funny with some of these kickers, you never see them miss, and now multiple in a game, and then 10 in the last couple games.
Oh,
I think
dude.
It was.
And, you know, that dude is like –
big, especially come playoff time.
He's one of the highest-paid kickers.
Yeah.
And when he got the contract, rightfully so, right? We all know how Justin Tucker comes in. He's pretty much automatic. Like, no matter where he is on the field, it's in. And the Ravens fans know that, right? Like, they were just like, oh, cool, you know, he's going to kick. We're going to get 3. What the hell happened? And then not only that, the fact that it's happened in multiple games, not just missing one, but a couple field goals in games. He's not as consistent as he used to be. Now, is that because of age, or is it because, you know, maybe something is – there's some kind of ailment that we don't know about? I mean, I don't know, but I'm just speculating here, but it's awfully odd to go from very consistent, almost pretty much automatic, to now he's struggling as they get down the stretch. And that's just another reason that when these games come down to a field goal kick, he's not as solid as he used to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. All right, so next for me, for my rankings, I've got the Houston Texans still. Houston mm-hmm. Texans, I still have faith in them. Okay. But again, C.J. Stroud up and down as of late, too. But a good thing that they did pick up Joe Mixon, though, too, is because this guy is still balling throughout this season here. And they got the run game going. And I still think they're a good team to reckon with here when they're on their game. It's 100%. Just, you know, they're not playing. You see them come off to such a good start last season. You're expecting this season, especially with additions in there, to kind of take off and show out, you know what I mean, and kind of be that dominant force.
Yeah.
We haven't seen that.
No.
It's like kind of like we talked about when these top contenders here play down to some of these lower teams and make it too close, or even they end up getting a loss here, but then they have to power back and get another strong win. That's the way this kind of team, this gauges with me, or else I would have had them higher going into this season, but now they've dropped off a little bit for me here too.
Yeah, dare I say it, that C.J. Stroud has regressed a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what it looks like.
Yeah.
We're not seeing the same C.J. Stroud as we did last year, which is astonishing for a team that didn't really lose anything but gained a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Mixon in the backfield, you know, Stephon Diggs before his injury. Like, that team early in weeks 1 and 2 looked unstoppable. And now I know they don't have Diggs anymore. I get it. But they still have the same receiving core last year that they had. Tank Dell, Nico Collins, Xavier, I'm going to forget his last name, Hutchinson. They still have those guys. That didn't change. Just Diggs isn't there anymore. So, and they were able to do more with this same team minus Mixon last year, which you would think that, like, now that they added Mixon, you know, you expect them to roll this division and be one of these teams that are with the high win totals, with the 9 wins and the 10 wins, and that's what I expected at least. And it's not happening. Houston is just simply not playing as well as they did last year, And going down the stretch, they may win the division, which locks them into the playoffs.
Right.
But they're, in my eyes, are going to be, because of the their play on the field, what they've been able to show on the field, they're going to be, to me, the weakest team going in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. To me, that's what they look like. They don't execute every single week. There's something off, whether it's C.J. Stroud having a bad day or the running game isn't working out too well, and now it's one-dimensional, and they're trying to throw the ball over the place. And the defense isn't playing up to par either. They're okay, but they're not the same as they were last year. Again, with more talent added. So the Texans, to me, they're going to dip for me.
Mm-hmm.
And they are not my next team.
Okay, what's your next team?
The Denver Broncos.
All right. That was going to be my final team, but there you go. Why do you have them ahead of them?
So the Broncos, again, kind of similar mm-hmm. to what the Chargers have been able to do.
Yep.
The Broncos came in, we all knew that they had a pretty stingy defense going into this season, but we didn't know how stingy it was going to be. New defensive coordinator comes in, Vance Joseph, has definitely changed the way they line up, mm-hmm. the way they attack teams. Now they line up with five linemen across the board. Makes it extremely difficult for offensive lines to block everybody because now it's all single blocking, mm-hmm. single pass protection. So, and they always win their ones. They always win their ones. They get tons of pressure and they play man and they are all over the receivers where, unlike other teams that play zone and they give these big gaps and the receivers just find it, sit in it and get the reception, the Broncos not only put a ton of pressure on you, but also they got pretty good corners back there. It's not just Patrick Surtain. Across the board, these guys have been locking down receivers and you don't have a lot of time. So forget the deep balls a lot of times because you're not going to have that much time. And this defense has not – as good as they were early on, they got even better week in, week out. So, and then you have the rookie in Bo Nix. Early on, atrocious, was struggling, was not comfortable with the playbook, was not comfortable with his weapons. And you saw him every single week get better, better, and better. And now you're looking at a quarterback who is not only oozing with confidence, knows the offense like the back of his hand, distributing it and has tremendous chemistry with a lot of the receivers out there. Cortland Sutton is the big name, but then there's Valet, who's a 6'4 wide receiver who's seen as like the number two type of guy. And he's distributing it to his tight ends and getting everybody involved, no matter what it is. So I think with his growth and his development with Sean Payton, they've done a tremendous job to the point where now they're not just on the brink of the playoffs, but it seems like they're going to make it.
Oh, yeah.
And when they do, they're going to be a team that I don't think anybody in round one wants to face. Right. So they're going to make it very difficult, and that is why the Broncos, to me, are my number six.
Yeah, I get it. And we talk about this a bunch of different times. Beating teams you should be able to beat. How do you play against the playoff competition? And this is the epitome of that sort of team. The teams that they're supposed to beat, they beat, and pretty badly. If you look at the first couple of weeks, mm-hmm. Cleveland, the Raiders, Atlanta, they beat them, 42-25, 33-28, 35-18. The teams that they did lose to, playoff teams, though. Baltimore, just, in a tough one. Kansas City and the Chargers, then, too, was the other loss. So the thing is, you're going to see these teams again. You got to come back into the playoffs, and maybe this time now, with the way they're playing, they can kind of do this, come back into here with the way this team's been playing on offense to equal what the defense has been, top 10 defense, scoring down there when they get into the red zone, something that they were struggling with before under Sean Payton's offense mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. even Russell Wilson. Now it seems like they've got their quarterback that they needed to run their offense. The defense and them are working on the same page, and now it's dialed up, and now they're that scary team that's really playing hard now to go charging into the playoffs and not backdooring it. And you go to face the Chiefs now, you better watch out here because the Kansas City Chiefs have an issue here against these guys, I'm sure.
Right, right. And that's why, like, the Texans for me are my last one because of the initial statements that we've already made about them. That's why they're my weakest link right now. And I'm really concerned for Texans fans, you know, going into the playoffs, the way they are. A lot of these teams that are going to end up in the playoffs, they're all hot. They're all playing great football, you know? And if you're the weakest link, kind of backing your way in, like you were saying, basically, like in terms of production, it's not there. When are you going to turn the switch on?
Yeah, when are you going to turn on? Some teams can, but some teams can't. Most of the time they can't. You know, you got to get momentum. Momentum is key, especially going into the playoffs. And a lot of teams, you know, teams that do it, that don't have it, you know, that's when they end up failing.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so there you go. I mean, that's my AFC, you know, guys that are in the bubble. Some of these other teams that are actually not in the hunt, they're on the bubble. I really don't see them really, you know, making it. So I'm not even going to bother trying to rank any of them because, again, they're just in the hunt too or on the bubble, and I don't really see them. You know, you talk about your Bengals, your Dolphins. We've seen them make the playoffs before, but, again, against the tougher playoff competition, though, mm-hmm. they don't show up. And when it comes to cold weather, they don't show up. So if you look at them to face the Bills, they're going to, you know, shrink, you know, and crawl away and go hide and warm up somewhere. So I don't see these teams, you know, making a push. So I'm really confident that this framework,
the way the playoff is right now
on the AFC side,
yeah.
is going to stay where it is right now.
Yeah, the only thing that could throw a wrench into it, I feel like, because both the Dolphins and the Colts have 7 losses, right? So mm-hmm. they would most likely they have to win out to make it, you know.
Right.
Whether maybe, you know, who knows, maybe the Broncos, maybe the Ravens are 8-5. If they have a couple losses, that shakes everything up. But we don't foresee that happening. But that would be the only kind of thing is the Colts and Dolphins, if they were able to figure something out. Like what we've noticed with the Colts now, with Richardson returning, has been playing better, which is giving them obviously ample opportunity to win games. But also they have a weak schedule, mind you.
Mm.
So it's very possible that Colts team could pull off something that we didn't foresee, making it very difficult for teams that have to continue to win in order to stay ahead of them. So that's like the only team I could see. The Dolphins, to me, not all, their offense isn't the problem. The defense is really what's letting them down. So. Mm-hmm. It was kind of like they played the Bills. We all kind of expected in cold weather climate the way it was, the Dolphins were probably going to lose anyway, and they did. But going forward, they can't afford to lose either if they still want to stay in the hunt. But Bengals, we can just pretty much count them out. Browns, after Jameis Winston, you know, obviously they're done.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that would be pretty much it for the AFC. Now, the NFC gets really interesting. But
yeah,
before we get there, anybody – you know, we want you to comment down below. We are live right now. We want you to comment. Want you to ask, maybe if you want to ask some questions, or if you just want to give us your own opinion about who you think is going to make the AFC playoffs right now, since we just got done talking there.
Or if you agree on where their rankings are, if you see some of the seeds better, you know, or whatnot.
Yes, and you could actually further support the show. We would much appreciate it. If you head over to Grumblings Media on YouTube, make sure you hit that subscribe button for us. Hit the thumbs up while you're there. It doesn't hurt. It doesn't cost anything. It's absolutely free.
Mm-hmm.
Share it to all your family and friends that love football talk. We're here. We are the most NFL interactive show you're going to find. We want to prove it to you guys. Make sure you stop by. And as well, you can also show us some further support at grumblingsmedia.com, where you can find podcasts like ours. You can find articles, sports, entertainment, even political, if you're into that sort of thing. And you can take us on the go. You can listen to us in the car ride, at work, in the gym, what have you, on our podcast. Anywhere you get your podcasts, Apple, Google, Spotify, or Pandora.
There you go. I like how you had that little bit at the end, Joe. Absolutely. So, yeah, there we go. There's the AFC, and our rankings here of the playoff teams that are there.
Yes.
So now let's move to the NFC side.
To the interesting side.
The interesting, yes, because it is. Cause it's all over the map here. I'm still got for my number one until, again, maybe I'll see how they play, you know, now that they got a lot more injuries on that defensive side of the ball here. They've got a tough one, this matchup here with the Green Bay Packers. It is the Detroit Lions. The Lions, again, the way the offense is playing, defense was playing well.
Right.
They can beat you in the run. They can beat you in the pass. I mean, they have weapons everywhere. The coaching, I think, is great. I can't say, you know, enough about these guys. You know, on all phases, I think they're just, you know, number one, I think.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely have been the hottest team in football, and they're doing it offensively, defensively. And despite losing players, like you mentioned, like one player after another, Aiden Hutchinson, he's not there anymore. Guess what? They're still playing good defense.
Mm-hmm.
They might not be racking up the sacks when they have them, but they're still putting pressure on the ball carrier, putting pressure on the quarterback, and they're playing really good complementary football on the offensive side as well. It's tough to stop this offense. They have two great running backs, a stellar offensive line. Jared Goff is playing out of his mind this year, and Amon-Ra St. Brown, you know all the names. Sam Laporta even is getting more involved now the last couple of weeks. This team, despite the injuries, are able to overcome all their obstacles so far. At 11-1, easily the number one team in the NFC.
Yep. Again, like you said multiple times, but even just to highlight, top five running offense, top five running defense too as well, stopping the run. And a lot of these teams coming into this, you know, playoff here, you know, that they've got nipping on their heels, have some good running backs here that can run the ball. So that is key here to get victories here and try and keep some of these points down here. So I see your agreement with me on this one here in the Detroit Lions.
Yeah.
Number two, my number two rankings here, and I hate to do it here, but I got to give it to the Philadelphia Eagles. But I think a lot of it, especially you saw in that last game, that defense and what they are able to do against the Baltimore Ravens here, Jalen Carter getting in there, and then Saquon, he was getting off slow and stuff, chipping away, but he will not be denied. That man has heart. He will still keep going.
Finds a way.
But let me tell you, this is why I even have them at number two, because, yes, they have a lot of great players again. Yes, I get that. But I still think if they lose Saquon, they're done. Like, I don't think they can hold out like, you know, like the Lions could or something like that if they lost one of their running backs. I think Saquon is the key. Right, is their offense. He is the key to it all. You saw the offense, the way they played last year, something was kind of off. They weren't getting enough points here. They were making mistakes. Jalen Hurts trying to stay in the pocket too many times. Wasn't being himself. Having Saquon gives him the ability to be that guy, the ability to kind of hand it off, have Saquon as a threat, and then, you know, Hurts can also keep it if he wanted to, give that little dish off if he needed to. He is the key to this whole team, but that's why I have him ranked here second here to the Lions, but also look at the Lions. They're running on all phases, so it's hard to not call them number one.
That's right. I agree with you, too, with the Eagles at number two. And you're right. Like, you know, Saquon Barkley is the guy since he got there. Like, there was a reason why they went out and paid him the money, brought him in, because they knew it was an upgrade over DeAndre Swift. As good as DeAndre Swift is, they have to have that complementary running back of that caliber. Like, so they get Saquon Barkley, who is an upgrade over Swift, and with this offensive line, he's running all over the place at will. Like, you might be able to slow him down from time to time, but then eventually, boom, there goes that big run. You know, and it's just a matter of time with this team. Offensively and defensively, they struggled early on this year, but then they started to tweak things. They started to work at it, get guys healthier, and now you're seeing more rookies play. Cooper DeJean, you know, Quinya Mitchell, all kind of rising to the occasion. And how about Cooper DeJean supplanting Derrick Henry? That was pretty awesome.
There was some major tackles in that game.
But nonetheless, this team is another great football team in the NFC. I cannot deny them that number two spot. They could, this could be, they're so close that you could go 1A, 1B, because they're both playing very good football down the stretch, and you can't really argue those two teams.
Right. And it really kills me, too, because the more I look at Nick Sirianni, too, I just dislike him. I hate his facial features, everything about him.
I was just going to ask you.
If anybody had a more, like a, what you call a quote-unquote punchable face, I would say it's probably Nick Sirianni. I don't know,
there's
man.
There's just something about it. I just want to deliver one of these in your suck hole.
Again, it's like there's been conversations about this team being so good despite like Sirianni, not because of him. Mm-hmm. And I think even with this offense having Saquon, and I think it's also Kellen Moore really flexing what he does best and having, okay, you know, Saquon there also, you know, together has made it that much better. So, mm-hmm, I mean, I would almost give Kellen, you know, a little more credit here on that one. So,
right, right.
But yeah, I can't stand him and I hate it. But there you go. They're my number two.
Nice.
My number two on this one. All right, so this next one, like you said, it's close, man. It is so, mm-hmm, tight. And for me, man, it's like almost splitting hairs because these teams, there's times where they do look off. There's, right, times when they do kind, yeah, of play well. And you're like, wow, look at this.
Right.
But it's almost like they win, but you're like, it could have been worse, and you're lucky that it happened.
Mm-hmm.
And this team for next, I have number three, is the Green Bay Packers.
Okay.
Packers, again, they're 9-3. They're right there. Their record is still worse than what the Vikings are right now.
Mm-hmm.
But
by
Josh
game.
Yep, exactly. But Josh Jacobs playing well. That defense still is playing well. And Jordan Love getting by, I would like to say it as, because they said he hadn't thrown an interception, you know,
yep,
since another game or whatever. But if you look at the past previous game, there were two that were thrown right to defenders that should have been caught that he just, yeah, flat out dropped.
Yep.
So that was almost a two turnover game that, mm-hmm, ended up with zero turnovers. So I wouldn't brag about that stat line because it could have been much worse there, and it probably should have been. So he's kind of having an off technical sophomore season here, even though he's been in the league for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Second year starting, getting paid as well, not looking as good as a starter here. And that's where I'm kind of shaky on this one. Besides that, I think the defense has really stepped up, played well, and Josh Jacobs really being the strong part of that offense as well.
Yeah, I mean, I can't disagree with that. The Packers, they were seen as one of the favorites to make the playoffs, you know, and I think they are going to make it. Obviously, it's going to be a divisional battle between the two with the Vikings and the Packers, both fighting for that number one spot in the division. But I got to give the edge to the Packers at three here because I just think they're a more solid football team. And when you look at Jordan Love and how he's kind of been up and down all season, like you mentioned just last week, should have had two picks.
Mm-hmm.
They should have. And that might have changed the whole course of the game. But he's got to limit those because it's going to kill him and the team if they go into the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And that happens. But I it's hard to – the NFC is so, like, kind of jumbled. and it's almost like a Tetris puzzle you got to try to figure out here because the Packers I have at three as well, but I'm not very confident with,
right,
that third selection. You know, it could very easily go to the Vikings in my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
But the Vikings, it's difficult because Jordan Love, if he was a little bit more consistent this year, hands down would be the Packers. But the fact that he's been up and down lately, but I feel like that Packer team as a whole is just better. Defense is super solid. The offensive weapons and everybody they got, Josh Jacobs, what have you, they're all solid, and they're getting healthier, especially I heard Elgton Jenkins, the starting offensive tackle, is due to be back this week, so they are going to get a little healthier. That's why I have them kind of penciled in at three at the moment.
Right.
But it could change. And I would just say this. Like, if Minnesota and Sam Darnold was able to be a little bit more consistent as a quarterback,
right,
for the Vikings, they would easily be my three. Because I would have a little bit more confidence in what they have to offer there. But I'll give it to the Packers, and that brings us to number four.
Yeah, Packers, again, top 10 offense, top 10 defense on top of it. You said, you can't say enough about them, what they've been able to do here. Again, just that's the same. I agree with you as well.
Yeah.
Jordan Love, if he was playing a little bit better, it's a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have next the Vikings, just right below them. Like you said, yep, this was a tough
one.
It's like a 3A, 3B. Sam Darnold's playing off well early on. You saw a little bit of chink in what he's, you know, revert maybe to a little bit what he's done before. You pressure him. He's going to make some mistakes here.
Mm-hmm.
Teams have figured out now here, too, say, hey, let's double, even triple team Justin Jefferson, too, because maybe if Darnold doesn't just keep throwing it to him, we stop him, then we've got him. And they've got it down, dialed into where they almost did. It's tight, but now it's kind of broken Sam Darnold out of that, his shell a little bit more again, kind of get him in that uncomfortable feeling where, all right, where's my next go-to guy? And what's a next go-to guy that you want to do? It's a best friend for a quarterback, tight end. And that's where he's going to as well. You've seen some Jordan Addison get involved too.
Not enough, though.
But yeah, exactly.
Not enough.
But he's got to learn to dish it off, trust in that. And then also, yes, he had a couple of bad plays here, but that running game here and Aaron Jones, got to get that going, get him involved.
More consistent.
And
yeah.
in the passing game there too. Run him. Get that. Alleviate that pressure off of Sam Darnold here. But surprisingly enough, they've really made this push into the playoff with Sam Darnold, and you know, I knew he was going to play well, but I was, you know, very skittish about it. I wasn't confident. So I wasn't seeing him making a playoff run. So yeah. The fact that they're even there and we're having this conversation, I think is good in itself.
Yeah, Jim. Well, you know what? I was confident in Sam Darnold from
the start.
Oh,
I know you were.
I had also told everybody out there that he was going to start. People thought I was nuts.
I know.
I was like, listen, J.J. McCarthy's not going to be the starter, you know? And this is before his injury, you know, before any of that happened.
Right.
And I was like, oh, no way. They drafted him high. J.J.'s going to start. Yeah, okay. Well, he just flat out got beat by Sam Darnold and then ended up getting injured early in the season. So Sam Darnold, you know, he's not lighting up the league by any means. He's just doing enough as kind of like a manager. Basically, just managing the game at quarterback. And obviously, they have tremendous weapons that he can distribute the football to. And that's really why the Vikings are at 10-2 right now. Potentially going to win the division. They still got to battle out with the Packers down the stretch. Packers are only down by a game. But the Vikings, to me, I agree with you. They're my next my next team there at four, right? We're at four?
Four, yes.
Yep.
Yes.
So the Vikings, I have at four as well. And for a lot of the reasons I already stated, I think that it could very easily be swapped between these two teams. That's why I got the Vikings. They're very competitive. Look at the record. It speaks for itself. And if they, too, like some of these other teams in the AFC, can get better every single week from this point on, then they'll be in great shape for the playoffs.
Right, right. And, you know, right now, currently, in the hunt still, because there's a few more teams now because the way the NFC is.
Yes, yes.
Seattle has the division. The Falcons have the division. But for me, for my rankings, next I've got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Because I think the Buccaneers, when it's all said and done, because we saw even Atlanta right there, they've got some issues still, bro. I do not trust them at all. Exactly. It's like, I'm locking that girl up. I'm keeping surveillance up on her all over. You know what I'm saying? I am a skittish, weirdo boyfriend right now thinking that something shady is going down. No trust whatsoever in this one. Tampa Bay, on the other hand, you know, Baker Mayfield was able to get some wins without your star players there.
Yeah.
Mike Evans healthy now, you know what I mean? So you're getting some players back. This team is playing the defense is accelerating here too. And I think they're just built to win right now. So I think they're the stronger force in that division and more confident. And I believe in them more. And they're going to make a playoff run. I think they're better out of even Seattle right now too. So I'm going Tampa Bay.
Yeah, Jim, you know what? This is kind of crazy, but I'm going with the same team.
All right.
I too.
Crazy, Joe.
Well, here's the thing.
For a long time.
Here's what I got. No, here's what I got to say though, is I think the Buccaneers end up winning the division anyway. So they're going to be back up into the playoffs regardless. They have a better team. Baker Mayfield, once again, is defying the odds that were stacked against him as being just a one-and-done, you know, rookie quarterback, you know, with Cleveland. Like, he didn't last very long. They moved on without him, saying he's not good enough. Ends up in Tampa Bay after his hiatus in L.A., and this guy is cooking. He's just flat-out cooking in Tampa Bay, and playing at an extremely high level. Like, this dude is for real. Like, why would Cleveland move on from him? They moved on like the Jets did when they decided to move on from Sam Darnold and all that. Again, Cleveland moved on from Baker. He's shining in Tampa. And this is a team that teams need to be wary about, because I understand that Mike Evans went down with an injury. Chris Godwin is now done for the year. However, with at least Mike Evans in the lineup, this changes the whole complexity of this offense. And with the running game, with rookie Bucky Irving kind of just taking over that starting role,
right,
whether it be receiving out of the backfield, running between the tackles, the dude is electric, and he's very difficult to defend against. I think this Buccaneers team not only wins the division, but yeah, they are definitely my next team in the power rankings. Wait a second.
Yes.
We're at five,
yes,
right?
Five. Yep.
Yep. Sorry. But we're at five here. I love the Buccaneers. I think they are going to emerge, and they're going to be in the playoffs, and Atlanta will not be.
Right, exactly. And there you go. I feel exactly the same way here, too. Falcons on the outside looking in, very skittish about them. And even next up for me, too, you've got the Commanders there as the seventh seed in the hunt, not on the bubble. And I think they're a driving force as well. I think they are next up in my power rankings too as well over the Seattle Seahawks again.
Yep.
Just because, again, Seattle, they have been able to edge out some of these wins. Geno Smith has been able to get back and get some game-winning drives, but it is also after a poor performance within that game. So he's kind of getting lucky on getting the chances to come back in some of these games late. Teams have been able to give them the opportunity to come back. He's been able to make some of these plays, but also some of them, teams shooting themselves in the foot, i.e. the Jets here, having a big lead and giving it all up, pass interference here to penalties, nonstop penalties, and bring it right back. So Seattle for me is a ghost team. Give me Washington here in the sixth seed coming up here in my power rankings. Washington, Jaden Daniels playing well. I mean, Terry McLaurin now ecstatic. He's got a great quarterback here. So you see his ability and see what he's able to do now here as that number one star for that team. And just as well as long as Dan Quinn can get that defense right still, playing on all cylinders, I think this team is scary also in the NFC.
Yeah, they are a scary team for sure, and they've kind of come up through the ranks faster than we anticipated because of them having a rookie quarterback, because the defense isn't altogether intact like they want it. They just kind of added a whole bunch of free agents on that side of the ball, hoping for the best with Dan Quinn as the defensive expertise there. But Jaden Daniels, you can't say enough about the guy. The guy has been tremendous, and if you go back to our draft special, we were telling everybody that Jaden Daniels is the right selection to take at the top of the draft. Didn't happen, but Washington was smart enough to take him. And you can see them reaping the rewards of how well he's been able to come into the NFL and play at a very high level as a rookie. It's been amazing to watch. You say Terry McLaurin's happy. I'd say, what the hell is going on with the reincarnation of Zach Ertz?
Yeah, right.
this dude who's been out of football, and then comes back an older guy, and he is one of the favorite targets of Jaden Daniels. So guys like Noah Brown that were late additions to this roster, also making, a dent in the offense and again, contributing to this offense and be able to put up points. And the one thing you got to watch out for, too, is Brian Robinson Jr.
Right.
That dude is having one hell of a season. Now that he has a legitimate quarterback who is scaring defenses, to back them up and let Brian Robinson work underneath. So offense is great. Love the offense. The defense, to me, is shaky. The defense, to me, is what lets them down, and that's why they have five losses.
Right.
That's why they're not one of the teams that are like, oh, my God, watch out for them if they make the playoffs, because I would say offensively, yes. Defensively, they scare me. And as much as I love the offense, you got to have a defense to go anywhere. And there's a team out there. I'm just going to say this. Commanders are not my next team.
Okay.
I think the Arizona Cardinals are going to win the division against Seattle, cementing themselves in the playoffs, and they are going to be my next team, because I've witnessed this Cardinals team defensively that I had concerns with early on in the season. I'm like, geez, I don't know. You look at this roster, looks a little weak here and there. Offensively, will Kyler Murray even last? Will he be able to last the whole season? So far, he's been healthy. You know, they drafted Marvin Harrison Jr., and he's obviously a big part of that offense, but another guy who definitely needs to be praised is Trey McBride, the tight end. The guy is literally lighting up the league as a tight end. He's got wide receiver numbers right now. And his name needs to be praised a little bit more. And that he's the real key cog in this offense, along with James Conner in the backfield, Trey Benson, the rookie that they took. He's starting to emerge. And the defense playing well above what I anticipated them being able to do. They are 6-6 right now, but I think very soon they are going to take over Seattle and claim the throne of that division. And they are going to be my next team because their offense and their defense is working hand in hand. And they are going to be a difficult team to deal with.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough, and I can see that. For me, they're kind of that dark horse team, and they could potentially make a push. For them to help make a factor in this one, they do get to play the Seattle Seahawks again and get that
revenge game.
You know, because again, they did lose to Seattle just a week or so ago, in a 16-6, I think it was the score. Now they get to play, Seattle now at home and not in Seattle this time. So maybe that'll bode well for them. But they do have the Patriots. Panthers, though, have been playing a lot better and they're not an easy out now anymore. And you've got the Rams and the 49ers still in that same division now. 49ers. Again, I wrote them off. They're done. They're done. So I mean, it just sucks for them, especially with Christian McCaffrey.
Did you ever? I mean, honestly, like we never thought the Niners. We would get to this point of the season and be like, well, Niners are done. They're out of the playoffs. Like, never anticipated that happening. Like, right. This is crazy, and this is why we play the game.
Mm-hmm.
This is
right.
Why.
Right.
If you never know.
Yeah. If all of a sudden, like. At beginning of the season, like we might have even done an episode like this. I can't even remember, but you have those teams that made the playoffs last year that aren't going to make it this year.
Yep.
They were not on that list at all. And like, if you made that a headline, all of a sudden you went back in time and like, here you go. Here's the newspaper headline. 49ers missed playoffs. And people would be like, yo, you're out of your mind.
Yeah, no way.
What are you smoking?
Exactly.
And here we are. And exactly. Some of it has been injuries, right? We got their injuries here and there. Yes. Christian McCaffrey, especially not there for most of the season. But there's something about the team that they're just not clicking, though. So it's not just injuries. It's the way that the ball's not really moving. They're not moving in drives here and there, not being able to score. Just something's off, you know. But, you know, I don't know what it is, you know.
Well, I mean, honestly, like it is a little bit of injuries, like truthfully, like not offensive line-wise, but like – they've been missing their weapons in and out of the lineup throughout the whole season. You know, Brock Purdy's missed a couple games, so it does factor into it. And the fact that their defense isn't whole.
Yeah,
like they've lost Javon Hargrave. Mm-hmm. You know, he went out early. Nick Bosa's missed time now.
Yeah.
And their defensive line wasn't anything special. Like we said
that
before week one. We said that was a concern of ours. It's not the same. It's not the same team. It's a little bit different. And then they also were missing their safety, Huafunga, who's been out for the whole season pretty much. He played like maybe a game or two, but he's been missing. And that is a huge deal. Travarius Ward has missed a couple weeks. So it's like this team can't stay healthy. George Kittle also, again, you know, he's missed a couple games. Debo Samuel's missed. So it's like everybody has had their chance to miss games. This team has not been completely whole, except for the beginning of the season, to now, to where it's led them to struggle. And I'm not saying it's just because of injuries. It's also because of execution. Kyle Shanahan, with his offense, with Brock Purdy, when he was in the lineup, it seemed to me that they rely so much on their weapons to run this offense that if they're missing a key guy like Debo, it throws everything out of whack, and they aren't able to overcome it. And so far, like through this season, we've seen them stumble time and time again. And now they lose Christian McCaffrey. They also lose Jordan Mason. And now they're down to the rookie, Isaiah Garendo, who I think is a good back. But, dude, you're 5-7 now.
Yeah. Yep.
You would literally have to win out to have a shot to make the playoffs.
Right.
Now. That's just to have a shot, though. Right. You're going to need some help along the way.
Yeah, and they're losing. You know, you're not getting, like, people aren't coming back to help save the day. People are dropping off. You know, like you said, more injuries. Fred Warner, you know what I mean? it's not getting any better. It's just getting worse. So, again, put a fork in them. They're done.
Right.
I wasn't even going to put another team on this list because, again, I wasn't sure even on some of these. But I guess somebody still has to make that and win that division. It's kind of a free-for-all at this point. Yeah. I would argue maybe the fact that, you know, you still have the Rams there. They do, though, have to play the Buffalo Bills, though, which is tough. So, and but it is at home, though. So they luckily don't have to go to Buffalo to win Buffalo. This one. Yes, exactly. So they've got that one. Yeah. Then the beat up 49ers, then the Jets, then the Cardinals, and then the Seahawks. So an opportunity to have a lot of wiggle room here, too, and propel themselves. So with their team and the weapons that they have, Matthew Stafford, Sean McVay, I really don't count them out. So I get the dark horse of Arizona, what they've been able to do with their new coach, but I think I'm going to tip the hat to the Rams being the next on my list here and go on stability and, you know, the quarterback that they have too, coaching staff, Puka Nacua as well. But, again, that defense is scary at times, though.
That's all well and good, too. The Rams will not be on my list because I'll tell you right now, I'm very concerned with this offense. Despite having Puka back and Kupp back, an offensive line is fully healthy. They got everybody back. You know what I mean? Like, there's no excuse you can't put up points. But they still continue to struggle doing that. The last couple of weeks, this offense is, even though they're healthy now, it's not getting any better. They're still struggling to get the ball in the end zone. You know, they can barely get over 20 points, you know, and it's got to be discouraging to Rams fans and everything, even though they have a young defense that is ready, willing, and able to slow down teams, to stop teams, to keep putting the pressure on them. But if their offense can't put up enough points for them to win, it's just very, very disheartening. Like, I don't foresee the Rams making a surge all of a sudden now. Because even when they're healthy, it's still not good enough. So that to me is what I'm struggling with is the Rams' consistency. It's just not there. I don't know if they can turn a switch on and just turn this thing around yet, but maybe they do. But I just can't see it happening, even though the last couple of weeks they've been healthy enough to do it, and they still haven't done it. So that's my concern. But my last team is easily going to be Washington. Commanders, we already talked about Jaden Daniels and how good that offense is. But again, that defense, like Jim mentioned earlier, it needs to get better. If it doesn't get better, then the Commanders, as great of a story as this is, they could be one and done.
All right. Next. All right. So there it is. There's the playoff team power rankings. Here we went through the AFC and the NFC, so I know you guys were jumping in and out of here and checking it out. Mm-hmm. And if you happened to see, as I know you guys are sticking around watching, it was all AFC teams. We're like, yo, these guys are bullshit. They just like only AFC teams. Like, this is the power rankings?
No, it's all AFC teams,
but we're going to do each conference. Yeah, so you know, so make sure you guys stick with us on that one here. And you'll definitely see some shorts after this one on some of these. So thank you so much for sticking around with us. Yes, we do have our picks coming up here. But Joe, tell everybody again one more time.
Jim, I was just about to say that. Like, I was so excited to just tell everybody, hey, listen, you can find us very easily. Head over to YouTube and subscribe to Grumblings Media. Definitely helps out our show. We are approaching 4,000 subscribers at the moment. We really want you guys to be a part of it, be part of the Blitz Nation. And make sure you hit the thumbs up while you're there. Share it to all your family and friends. And, of course, you can also check us out at grumblingsmedia.com. Make sure you hit over there for all the latest and greatest podcasts, articles that we have over there, whether it be sports, entertainment, political, it's all there. Also, we are on rumble.com. If you're new to that rumble.com, make sure you drop a follow there while you're there. And, of course, anywhere you get your podcasts, Google, Spotify, and Pandora.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Well said, Joe. Before we get into the picks here, too, how about we just throw before this out here, picks. Too? Let's get into the picks. How about just a quick piece on the hit on Trevor Lawrence again.
With Al Shaair.
Yes, Al Shaair. Intentional, definitely – penalty worth, also fine worth, suspension. One,
3 games.
You think it's legit? And then two, do you think it's enough punishment?
I think it's enough punishment. Mm-hmm. It's a 3-game suspension. That means he loses pay for those 3 games, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. It's his first offense. It's not like he's a multi-offender. Mm-hmm. So I agree with the punishment. The hit itself, it can be argued either way, and I'm trying to look at it from both sides. I get it was an illegal hit, 100%. Not even arguing that. Like, because he also gave him a forearm right into the throat. Like, you don't do that. You don't put your forearm into the dude's throat when you're hitting him. So that to me is kind of a little sketchy. Like, the guy claims that he didn't mean to hurt him and this, that, and that thing, but that forearm, that kind of puts it to another level. So, right. From his side, you could argue, did Trevor Lawrence start to slide quick enough? It was kind of late, so I knew the hit was going to happen. It was mm-hmm. They were so close that you knew it was going to happen. But the forearm thing, he could have done without. I would have been okay with the fact that even though he hit him and it is a penalty and he got the suspension, if he just led with his shoulder.
Yeah.
That way you could have argued, like, listen, I'm paid, because he did state that he was paid to hit you as hard as possible.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And he also disclaimed it and said, hey, I'm not a vicious person. I don't try to take people's lives and I don't try to injure them on purpose or anything like that. But my job is to hit you. And I get that. I respect it. But at the same time, you know, when you slide as a quarterback, for Trevor Lawrence in that scenario, like, it was a little late. You could mm-hmm. argue, like, dude, you should have got down sooner.
Yep.
And maybe you could have avoided it. Maybe he wouldn't have hit you if you did it sooner, you know. But we're playing with hypotheticals at the point.
Right.
But I got to say, like, he did slide. Mm-hmm. It was a slide. And, you know, you put the forearm in him, which kind of bothers me.
Right,
you
right. Know, if I he think didn't that was that, the extra icing on the cake, too. I agree with you there, too, because if you watch it, I kind of look at trajectory of angle, too. So if the quarterback is standing up, where are you looking to hit him? Are you going mm-hmm. for his knees or something like that? That's why mm-hmm. you're kind of down at that angle. But then as he's slowing down, you're already at that lower angle where you're at his head. And like you said, he does that extra motion
forearm.
With his forearm to finish him off and mm-hmm. drive it into mm-hmm. his head. And from a top angle looking down at it, it really looks like he puts his weight down into it, too, and really drives it.
Oh, home. He did 100%.
Yeah, exactly. 100%. And that is the vicious part of the hit.
Right.
Again, if you really want to get rid of these two, I mean, I was happy with giving him more than that. Yes, it's a first offense, but if you want to eliminate a lot of this stuff, I think make it harsh. You know what I mean? You know,
you're never going to eliminate these because they are so split second. They are so fast.
I know
that. Like, my argument though too is the fact that the quarterback can't slide late. You know, that is a big thing, because if a defender is coming to hit you and he's going 100%, he's going full bore at you, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden now you're like, you see him like 2 yards away, and you're like, oh, now I'm going to try to slide. You're going to get plastered. There's no way for him to stop or let mm-hmm. up or anything mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. So that is almost inevitable to happen. It's going to continue to happen if quarterbacks slide late. Now, Tom Brady, of all people, the late, great Tom Brady, he had something to say about this, and he thinks that there should be a new rule implemented for quarterbacks sliding late. If a quarterback slides late to try to maybe even get a call like that, or is just slide late in general, that they should be penalized for it. Now, I don't know how I feel about it.
For me, it's like, that's how do you judge that again? I hate these judgment calls.
Well, it's very easy.
Like, well, that was late. Well, how late you're talking, you know what I mean? You call it a late slide.
It's
you know?
Pretty evident when a quarterback slides late. You're sliding literally as the guy's about to hit you. You're just deciding to slide at that point. That's mm-hmm. a late slide. But there's guys that do slide early, like, you know, they like it's 4 yards and they start to slide and the guy kind of jumps over them instead. It literally gives the defender a chance mm-hmm. to avoid mm-hmm. the contact. Mm-hmm. But when you're 2 yards, it's so hard. There's no way you can stop at that mm-hmm. point. So mm-hmm. to me, I understand what Brady's saying, but at the same time, is it really – you know what I mean? Like,
I don't
is it
think
really
necessary
worth
for it.
Necessary right. to implement right. that kind yeah. of a rule? Mm-hmm. Like, it's all about safety anyways.
Yeah.
So are we going to throw a penalty now against quarterbacks that maybe do, you know, ride that danger line and get too close but in slide. And maybe that's what they're counting on. I don't know. Like, I don't know if Trevor Lawrence was thinking that way or not, and that's why he decided to slide and said, oh, I'm going to get a call here. Easy. You know, I don't know what the mentality is with some of these quarterbacks. Maybe they do that on purpose. I don't know. But it's one of those very tricky gray areas. Like, you could implement a rule if you really wanted to, but then I don't think the refs would call it that often, to be honest.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I think that's just like adding a rule. It's
too much of a gray area.
Point, yeah, I think you're better off not having it there.
That they could actually put it in there, and then the refs probably never
call even it. Call it.
Unless it's to change a game.
Right, unless it's for the Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. But he's smart. He goes down fairly early.
Right.
Or he tiptoes near the sidelines. And then he gets touched, and he wants a penalty. So.
Right.
All right. So, yeah, I figured I'd just get your point on that quick, too. I know that's been kind of a topic lately, too, with everybody.
It ended up becoming a huge thing this week.
Well, people are not used to seeing big hits and stuff like that, too, and the viciousness of some of the games. And when you see something like that, whoa!
It was crazy.
Wow, we haven't seen something like that. And then the fight that ensued afterwards, you know, players sticking up for their quarterback and things like
that. Talk about fighting. College football was crazy this past Saturday.
Wolverines.
All I got to say is,
not even just them.
There was literally like five other games that ended up in fights because teams were all trying to plant the flags.
Yeah,
and the NCAA has already fined both Michigan and Ohio State for their. I'm curious to see what happens with the other teams, but because Michigan and Ohio State are such big, huge powerhouse schools, they both got $100,000 fine.
Yeah,
from the NCAA. Now, my thing is, I definitely expect next year the NCAA is going to implement a rule where you cannot flag plant after a game. It's unnecessary. I get it. It's kind of like a territorial thing, like, oh, we beat you guys. Boom, we own the field type of thing. But in a sense, it is a little disrespectful to the other team that just lost. You know what I mean? So
yeah, and, I mean, they've been doing, like, the hazing for, not centuries, but decades now. Like, say, so you know with Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State, Michigan, that they have certain landmarks even around the areas that they'll paint over, things like that. Yep. They'll do tricks on each other, again, when that particular team wins that season and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So they already kind of do that amongst each other with, hey, there's your stomping ground. This is what we did now. We've gotten you this year. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And the flag plant thing, I think, brings it to a whole different level.
Well, you got to remember too
the league and things like that, and then you know, the fields too,
it's
as well.
All these young kids with pent up testosterone, ready, able, and willing to fight at any given moment. And you got a high level game, whatever level it is, but every game is like so big because it is in their own right a Super Bowl to them. It's a huge rivalry. You want to beat the other team. And then if you come out losing, that other winning team, allowed to do whatever they want? They plant the flag, and you know, you're like, yo, screw you guys. You know what I mean? And that's really where all the violence happened and stuff. Yes, it sucks for college football. It does. But at the same time, you know, things got to be capped before they get any worse because we don't want anything to escalate to the point where now people are going to be assaulted. You know what I mean? And it got really close in that Ohio State.
I bet. Yeah, I know.
Guys got pepper sprayed, for God's sake.
I know. it got crazy. But all I got to say is to my man, Mike Tackett, though, I'm like, how'd you guys not win? You know what I mean? We don't have the sign stealer anymore.
I know how you won. You want me to tell you how you won?
Yeah.
Ryan Day.
Yeah.
Ryan Day. Listen, here's the thing. Here's the craziest thing.
Oh.
Chip Kelly's the offensive coordinator of Ohio State.
Yep.
Ryan Day took over play calling duties for this game.
Oh, yeah.
And he literally did everything Michigan would want Ohio State to do. He's the one that they did everything that Michigan would want in order for them to win. He ran the ball into the best, if not one of the best, run defense teams in the country. Why would you run when you have the weapons you do? Made no sense. So he continued to do that all game. And Michigan stopped it, and they punted, and they punted, and it gave the Michigan Wolverines way more opportunities to score. And that was the difference. And the fact that the Ohio State kicker can't make one to save his life.
Yeah, it's funny how we're seeing that the kickers now, too, just start, you know, failing here and there.
I'll tell you right now, though, Michigan's kicker, that dude's going to be – he's going to be a draft pick 100%. Zavada, oh, my God, he's good.
Nice. He's somebody that the Giants could use right now because I see us kicking a lot of
Giants,
field goals.
Sign him or draft him early in the draft. Make sure no one gets it.
We're not going to go quarterback. We're going to go kicker.
We're going to go kicker. Hey, it's been done before.
Yeah, definitely. All right, so now we will finally go to the picks here. Here we are, week 14 picks here. There's a lot of good matchups here as we're getting closer to the end of the season. Here's the picks competition, how it's rolling out right there. It's still tight. You got another game back. Luckily, I did change my pick here with the Bills here with that weather because I didn't know
about
the
weather going on. I was really hoping you didn't change that.
I know you didn't. But some of those were tight, though, too, in Baltimore. If only friggin', you know you know, Justin Tucker could make those field goals, though. They got that win. You know what I mean? It's like, so either of these games that, you know, we either won or lost on, except for even both of us were in on that Cincinnati game, they could have gone either way, like we said, and they did. And it was just so
Bengals
back
defense.
And forth.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
Why aren't you, like, you – was it Lou – I can't pronounce his last name. It's Lou Amarillo,
yeah, something
I think.
Like that, yeah.
Dude, why didn't you game plan against the Steelers to stop the run? Like, bring everybody up, make them stop the run, you know? Hold up Najee Harris, and then worry about the pass with Russell Wilson. Make it third and long to give yourself an opportunity to get off the football field. That guy kept playing zone defense, and they were running right through the D-line. What the hell is happening? Why aren't you game planning a little bit better?
Right.
Bringing up some extra guys in the box.
Yep.
I was disappointed with the game plan from the defense, and they continued to just let the Steelers do whatever they wanted. They ran the ball. They threw the ball at will because they're in that soft zone coverage. I don't get what it is, but they just let teams do whatever they want.
Yep. Lou Anarumo.
Right. Now we'll move on to Thursday night.
Here we go. Thursday night. This is a great matchup. I can't wait to watch this one here.
This is a good one.
Packers in Detroit again.
Playoff implications.
Playoff implications and potentially see these guys in the playoffs. This is going to be a tough one. I know Detroit, you know, suffering some losses here on injuries. But Green Bay, again, with Jordan Love, I don't trust him right now. So I suspect they're going to try and run the ball, put it in Josh Jacobs' hands here.
Yep.
But Detroit can handle that as well. Like I said, they're top four against the run. So that plays right into kind of their scheme here. So I'm going to go with Detroit at home, and that place is going to be rocking.
It's definitely going to be rocking. Packers, Lions, man, this could go either way.
It could.
What Jordan Love are we going to see? That's the thing, you know. And because of the indecisiveness of Love, I it's going to be hard for me not to go with the Lions here. They have been playing extremely good football regardless of who's been out of the lineup. And it's next man up mentality there in Detroit. They've been able to do really good things there. Packers, they're getting healthier. That's one thing. But if Love puts on a performance because it's under the lights, then you could easily see this go the other way.
Again, watching that Thanksgiving Day game, it's like they barely edged out that, and he even made so many mistakes.
Yeah, he can't make them here.
No, he can't make him here. Yeah, that's what I mean. Good teams will make you pay for that type of stuff. So, all right, here we go. We've got the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Tennessee Titans here, man, in a game that we all probably just don't even want to exist right now at this point. Both teams.
We get a bye week on
really
this one.
Bad. You can't even. We're trying to find something good to say about the teams. How about the defense, though, and against the run, you know, yardage, they're number two. And fourth in attempts, rushing attempts. So there you go. That's some positive here for them. But again, offensively, you know, Will Levis making mistakes here. He's on a season of 12 touchdowns, 9 INTs. Tony Pollard making some plays here and there, but then also, you know, in crucial times, turning the ball over, not good. But Jacksonville, now they don't have Trevor Lawrence, but I think even – before, with the Trevor Lawrence injury, like even after he went out, that ball kind of – it seemed like the ball was flowing better, you know what I mean, and the drive's going better with Mac Jones. And potentially, do we see Mac Jones playing for a starting spot next season with this team, even though they did pay Trevor Lawrence. If he can get this offense looking better, especially these last couple of remaining weeks here, I don't know. What do they do with him? Do they pull like a whole thing? And it's like what we saw with Daniel Jones and some of these other quarterbacks here.
No, I don't see that at all. Mac Jones was only brought in for insurance purposes. Obviously, Trevor Lawrence got lit up, so like a Christmas tree. So he'll definitely be out for some time. And it didn't look good. Like, if you saw the hit live, oh, my God. He did the whole Tua impersonation. You know, I don't expect him back anytime soon. And they might honestly just shut him down just for precautionary reasons.
Yeah, they got nothing to play for right
Mac
now.
Mac Jones, I don't foresee him taking over the Jaguars job. I think what he is doing, though, is he's going to be debuting for the next team that's going to give him a shot. You know, maybe. You know, he's only going to be there for this year unless Jaguars manage to re-sign him. It's basically a debut for him. Like, how well can you play, you know, now that he's going to be given first-team reps this week? It's going to bode well for him in terms of chemistry. We've already seen him kind of target, you know, Brian Thomas Jr. a lot, Parker Washington a lot. So we'll see. We'll see what he can do with this Jaguars team. Jaguars team, definitely struggling this year, to say the least. Titans struggling this year, to say the least. At least the Titans are home. I guess that's a positive for them.
Right.
Pollard.
But it's tough to gauge even, too, because how that defense even kind of pressured, you know, Houston last week and kept that game close to where Houston only wins by three.
Right.
That's what kind of dangles this game out here now with Mac Jones here at the helm. I'm almost tempted to go Jacksonville on this one just because Tennessee has kind of bit me so many different times. Yeah. But the wins that they have won are against, I think, Houston, and they also beat the Dolphins. Too. So good teams too. Yeah. So these teams were kind of the Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde one. What are you thinking?
I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to go with the home team with the Tennessee Titans. I think that they're going to do enough with their running game. Between the running game and the fact that you're seeing that kid Westbrook Ikhine. He's been lighting it up the past couple of weeks.
Right.
And also, Calvin Ridley. He's still there, too. Yep. And give me the Titans on this one.
Yeah, I think I'm going to do that, too, just because also, if you look at it, I mean, they've got their starter in, too. And like you said, that potential to hit some of those guys who have been kind of coming on. I'm going to side with the Tennessee Titans here as well. The New York Jets and the Miami Dolphins. Jets, you know, I gave them a chance here.
You did.
They were winning, though. Like,
you gave them a shot.
They
do that.
Oh, my gosh. And then there's the team that just shoots themselves
in the
foot. And
then the Jets do Jet things.
How do you have – I just don't get it. But so now I'm done with them.
It makes perfect sense if you don't
think
about it.
Right, right. So Miami at home, it's easy here. Jets are a dumpster fire. have anybody coach them right now, you know, whatever, dude. Pick a fan, have freaking the fireman fan there, super fan, have him freaking coach the team for this point.
He just knows how to do the Jets chant.
Yeah,
that's about it,
right? Hey, that's better than what their head coach is doing right now for the team or Aaron Rodgers.
He'd be on the sideline. J-E-T-S, Jets.
Yes, so I'm going Dolphins all day. What do you think, Joe?
Yeah, Miami Dolphins got a better offense. Defensively, that's where the difference is.
Yes.
It's going to be Miami's offense versus Jets defense. Who outshines who? Give me the Miami Dolphins at home. They don't have to play in the cold weather this time. So
yes.
Give me Miami.
There you go. The Atlanta Falcons and the Minnesota Vikings. Kirk Cousins returns home to the Vikings. How about that? But, dude, he looks so bad. So bad to where I'm looking at the Falcons, it's funny because, you know, the media says the same thing. Dude, they're going to think the same thing because I'm watching this and I'm like, man, the Falcons, they're still at the top of the division.
Mm-hmm.
They're still
– they got to win.
There so that do they make a quarterback change? But I don't know if they do, if they're still in the hunt, but if they find that they still, like, even if they lose with Kirk Cousins this week
–
do they feel that Michael Penix can give them that boost to make that push back into the playoffs? Or do they really just say, Kirk Cousins, we got you here. We just got a rough patch, but we still think that you have enough in the tank and you're still the better answer for us to make the playoffs?
Well, here's the problem is that Kirk Cousins has been turning the ball over.
I know.
And has been crippling this Falcons offense. And at what point?
Legit leads to scoring.
Right at what point do you, now that you drafted Michael Penix, right? You know, he is so-called the future. Do you give him a shot? Because it can't get any worse. Honestly, like if Kirk Cousins himself is throwing two picks,
I think it can get worse because then you're out of the playoffs. But right now, potentially they are still. But yeah,
my thing is you have to make the change now because Kirk. It's not going to get any worse because Michael Penix, when he was able to play, looked pretty darn good.
Mm-hmm.
Like looked pretty solid. Was not turning the ball over. Mm-hmm. Where you have a veteran in Kirk Cousins who you're relying on to not turn the ball over and get you over the hump and get into the playoffs.
Right.
But he's hurting you right now.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to make a change, it's got to be now. It's got to be this game to hopefully stop the bleeding in terms of turnovers anyway. And I don't know, man. Like, if you go another week and you lose this game, and Kirk, once again, maybe he throws one pick, whatever. It's not going to you're not going to be able to turn it around with Kirk Cousins if he continues to turn the ball over. Even going into this week, this is a very hard matchup, too. You're playing the Minnesota Vikings, have one of the better defenses in the NFC, and a team that is, you know, trying to vie for a higher seed in that conference. They're hungry, too. They want to win this as well. So you cannot screw up. So I would say this. If the Falcons want to give it a shot with Michael Penix, at least he's not going to, you know, even if he turns the ball over one time, it's like, okay, well, Kirk could have turned it over two or three times. Mm-hmm. In this matchup. So mm-hmm. I don't know, like, do you stick with the veteran who's been struggling or do you go with the new kid on the block and maybe it adds a spark to this offense, a guy who was also mobile, by the way. So
mm-hmm.
as long as he plays game manager, could turn this team around and you at least you have a week of insurance if you end up winning it.
Because
if you lose with Kirk Cousins this week, even if you make the change, it's going to be very difficult now. You have no buffer. So that all being said, the Falcons, too, have been struggling on defense. And maybe it's part of because the offense is going three and out so often that they're on the field for so long. The Vikings, however, they've been able to kind of steady the ship. They're not blowing any teams out, but they're doing enough to win games. And again, this could be just the tale of what team can have the fewest turnovers wins the game. Because Sam Darnold hasn't been, you know, super steady as of late.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. But that all being said, I like the better team, the team that has the better record, obviously. Minnesota Vikings at home. They don't have pressure on them. The Falcons do. So the Falcons cannot screw up, cannot make any mistakes in order to even have a chance to win this game. Give me Minnesota Vikings on this.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Vikings, too, as well. Atlanta, again, Kirk Cousins, the pressure is on. And like I said, what kills it is, like you said, that defense, it's the turnovers that are leading directly to points, whether it be pick six or you're right there in your own zone and you throw a pick and they're right there to score either a field goal or the touchdowns right there. So that instantly puts your defense in a poor spot. And that's what's happening with the Atlanta Falcons. The New Orleans Saints and the New York Giants.
Jesus.
All right, Joe. I'm super excited about this one.
Another bad
game. New Orleans even, too. It's like we got even more injuries, too, on top of everything else, too. It's just a whole
wash.
Oh,
boy.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's no like, Dexter Lawrence.
It's really tests your not just your patience but your sanity at this point being a Giants fan, right, Joe?
I mean, it doesn't have to. You just don't watch the games.
Yeah. No, I hear you because you already know the outcome here. But
I mean, not just that. Like, it's one of those things where if you bang your head long enough against the wall, at what point you'd be like, wow, this isn't a good idea.
Yep.
You know, and that's what it's like watching the Giants. It's like, dude, I cannot believe that we continue to do the same stupid crap every single week, no matter what happened the previous week, we didn't learn from it.
Yeah.
And on top of it all, you get rid of Daniel Jones. You got Tommy Cutlets, who got royally beat up and missed last week's game.
Yep.
Drew Locke came in and looked even worse. And it's like, dude, you lost Dexter Lawrence last week. That was a huge blow to the defense. Now it's like, all right, maybe I don't watch it next week. Maybe there's just like no, it's not even fun to watch your team now at this point.
Yeah. And in Drew Lock, even too, they kept the game tight last week for a while.
Due to his running. And,
well, yeah.
No, not his right? throwing.
No, exactly. But then also, CeeDee Lamb didn't have his best game either, too, multiple drops, too.
He got hurt.
He hurt his shoulder. And, I mean, just, it was just a sham altogether. But New Orleans, I think they're right now, too, also a healthier, better team than the Giants right now. Giants, you know, they're not going to get another win for the rest of the season. I think they're just completely done, locked in on their spot here for their draft.
The Saints come marching in.
So the Saints, I'm going to take the Saints on this one.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Saints with Rizzi as the head coach. I love that guy.
Yeah.
He's inspiring. He's got a lot of intensity, a lot of energy.
Joe, he's got the spadaz.
Yeah, he definitely does. And the Saints are getting healthier too. Like their offensive line is healthier, which led to their struggles early in the year. But yes, they are still without their top two receivers, but they're making it work.
Mm-hmm.
Give me the Saints in this one. I think they're easily going to beat the Giants.
All right, next we've got the Carolina Panthers and the Philadelphia Eagles. Carolina, again, they've really since, you know, they benched Bryce Young, and then he's come back.
He's learned.
A whole different team. Adam Thielen making some moves, too. He had a great catch, you know, last week, that like kind of one-hander and then reached for the first down. I mean, that was
incredible.
Pretty crazy here. So he's still got some moves in the tank here. Good story, but not against this team. The Philadelphia Eagles, especially at home, that defense, Saquon. I want to see this, though, too. You got Saquon Barkley, you know, leading rusher here, mm-hmm. but then also Chuba Hubbard, too. He's a top running back, too.
He didn't look like it last week.
No, not as much, but still getting in the end zone. But still, I think it's Philadelphia all day on this one.
I think you got to watch out for that young kid, Jonathan Brooks. That dude, when he got the opportunities, man, he was running hard. He was really doing a good job. Panthers, as much as I really want them to win this game, just for the heck of it, I'm going to pick the Eagles.
Yep.
Obvious reasons, better defense, better offense, and they still got to try to stop Saquon Barkley, which no team really has.
No, not even.
I really want the to run out of
his and his back is facing you. He still finds a way to hurdle you. I mean,
I really
that's
want
not
the
just like
win.
Destiny. Yeah, me too as well. Like I said, I'm begging for Philadelphia to lose right now. I mean, that would be amazing. All right, but next we've got the Cleveland Browns and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Pittsburgh again, looking like that tough team driving into the playoffs, the defense playing well, the offense is running on all cylinders, whether it be running, passing too as well, even though at times Pickens is a bit of a crybaby. If they can stifle that
he's
a little bit,
attitude
we're
issues.
Good. Oh, dude, totally. Yeah, I know.
He's the next Antonio Brown.
But, you know, we saw the emotional pregame speech, Jameis Winston – go into Pittsburgh, get the victory in the snow against the Steelers. The snow globe game, win 19-17. Mm-hmm. Can they do it again?
Will we get another snow game?
I don't know. Who knows? But I really think now the Pittsburgh Steelers have this one here. I think the last game actually was in Cleveland. My bad here. But this one's going to be in Pittsburgh. I think that's going to be tougher here. Cleveland, yes, they were able to edge out that one victory early on, but I think Pittsburgh running on all cylinders right now has got this one. I like them at home.
The Browns would win this game again if Jameis Winston doesn't turn the ball over. Mm-hmm. That's that simple. This Browns team plays so much better with Winston at quarterback. It's
even
just,
in that snow game
him.
Against Pittsburgh, he got away with a couple that should
right.
have been picked.
But
too.
He kills them. And that's really it. Like, this Browns team playing so much better. Like, this is the Browns team we were hoping to see in week one. We're seeing it now, but with Winston continuing to turn the ball over and giving the other teams either pick sixes or a chance to go down and score, that's really what's killing them. So I'm going to pick the Steelers because I really do believe that this is going to be the game where the Steelers get redemption. But, again, if Winston limits – those turnovers and doesn't turn the ball over, I wouldn't be surprised to see the Browns win another one.
All right, here we go. Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Vegas Raiders. Tampa Bay at home, like you and I both said, we really like Baker Mayfield and the way this team's going. You've got them. Mike Evans healthy now too as well. The team's getting better. I don't think Vegas really has a shot in this one. I'm going to go with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
They actually have a shot because they actually have a legit quarterback now quarterbacking the team. Aiden O'Connell now, look at what he did last week. Threw 300 yards passing, had a great game, a phenomenal game, and really came down to it. Like, was driving down to the last drive to possibly win the game against the Chiefs, and they came up short due to a bad call. The Raiders, I think they have a legit shot to win this game. I don't want them to, but they do. They definitely have a legit shot. Buccaneers, this is where the Buccaneers can stack wins. They got to continue to win to get into that divisional lead. I think it starts here with the Raiders. Give me the Buccaneers.
All right. Next, we've got the Seattle Seahawks and the Arizona Cardinals. Last time was in Seattle. Seattle edged out that win.
Right.
I picked Seattle on that one last time.
Yes.
And that was probably because of it.
Yep.
I don't know if Seattle gets as lucky this time. Arizona's at home. I'm going to go with the Cardinals on this one.
Yeah, what Geno Smith are we going to see? Mm-hmm. It's like a Jekyll and Hyde type of quarterback at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And if you haven't seen that episode, Jekyll and Hyde episode, strongly recommend. Go check it out.
Right.
The Seahawks, they're like a roller coaster. Every single week, we just don't know if it's going to be on the highs or the lows.
Mm-hmm.
Arizona's been pretty consistent, though.
Yeah.
They've been pretty, you know, competitive every single week, no matter what the matchup is.
Mm-hmm.
And they beat the Niners, by the way,
mm-hmm.
a team that was healthier then. So give me the Arizona Cardinals at home against the Sea Chickens to maybe even get they pick up a game here, and they'll be tied in the division lead if they do win. So give me the Cardinals, who've been offensively and defensively playing well above what we anticipated.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, here we go. Next, we've got the Buffalo Bills and the Los Angeles Rams. We talked about this one earlier on when we were talking about our power rankings.
Mm-hmm.
This would have been a lot harder for the Rams if they were in Buffalo, but seeing as they're at home, I think they have a better opportunity. But overall, I don't think so. This Buffalo Bills team is just so good. They're good. They're playing on all cylinders. That defense is playing well. And it's not just one guy. Everybody's stepping up in whatever position they're in. You've got dual running backs, it seems like, now that Davis kid is running to when he's asked upon it. Cook is being able to run a little bit here, too. And Josh Allen playing at his best, too, absolutely. Even though he gets banged up a lot, we saw him last week kind of run the ball, got to get blasted in the hand there, but still kept it going. Right now, he's making his name known for an MVP run.
Definitely.
So I'm going with the Buffalo Bills on this one.
Yeah, to me, this isn't that difficult. I've picked the Rams in the recent past. They've burnt me. Even though they've been healthy, they're just not doing anything on offense. They're just not. Mm-hmm. Not as, you know, impactful as I thought they were going to be after getting healthy. And I think it might continue. I mean, you're going to go up against a Bills defense now with Matt Milano returning mm-hmm. to the lineup, giving another week of preparation. This Bills team is really ascending and becoming a really tough squad altogether. Give me the Bills against the LA Rams. I think it's that simple. The Bills are going to win.
Yep. All right. The Chicago Bears now with their interim head coach, Tom Brown. It's all funny right. how he's kind of moved up in a few positions real quick.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
It's like he would start really quick. Away jobs.
Really quick.
There you go. Hey, all of a sudden I'm running this sideshow here. And we all saw the debacle in which that last drive was, which, again, I was hoping for the other team to win, and I was even yelling at the TV. I'm like, what are you guys doing? Like, what are you, timeout? Like, what, you know, quick out, and then you still even got another shot, and you squandered a whole, like, 38 seconds or 40 seconds. It was crazy. But now Chicago, a debacle. San Francisco's banged up, though. So, I mean, that keeps this game a lot closer.
A lot more interesting,
you know,
I'll tell you that much.
No Fred Warner, again, the injuries, no running backs here for San Francisco.
Quick disclaimer, though. We are picking all these games without an injury report.
That's right. That's true. So, does the interim head coach get a win here for Chicago with San Francisco being that beat up?
Would be funny.
Man, it would be funny, but maybe with this team and the way Chicago's offense is kind of being inept, really, not really doing a whole lot. Maybe
not their defense.
Not their defense, though, but still, I mean, you got to think that still with Kittle and Debo and, like, you know, Jennings. I mean, still,
it's a terrible game to pitch.
It is, because normally I would go San Francisco all day. But now with the way they are and they're beat up, man, I'm like, yeah, this is harder and harder to get for these guys. Yeah. And I'm like, does Chicago have that enough? Because Chicago's played tough against a lot of good teams.
Now, how
I mean, they're
how
not a real pushover.
Also, how much does this affect with Eberflus not being there calling the defense? Mm-hmm. How much does that affect the defensive side of the ball, too?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because obviously it's going to be called, the plays are the same. It's just someone different calling the plays in certain situations now. Will it make it better? Will it make it worse? Will it be the same?
Yep.
That's going to be something to watch for, too.
This is tough.
The Bears, and they've surprised us sometimes, especially offensively, where Caleb does have a little bit more time, and he gets the ball out and gets it to his receivers and whatnot. And they've been able to run the ball with DeAndre Swift, and it's really worked out. But then more games than not, that offense struggles, and they have a hard time moving the ball and scoring, and then the defense has to kind of try to keep them in the game. This is going to be a terrible game to watch, I feel like. I don't know what it is, but the Bears, every time I watch them, it's just so boring to watch. Niners, we don't know what the injuries are going to mount up to be. Are they going to have everybody at their disposal, minus, obviously, Christian McCaffrey, Jordan Mason? They're down to their rookie running back at the moment. I know they did pick up a former Jet running back, Ikwanda. Something like that. Obviously, just going to be in a backup role, but again, like, who's playing? I don't know if Brock Purdy healthy enough to play. Mm-hmm. Are they going to resort to Brandon Allen again? Which, if it's Brandon Allen, I'm going Chicago all day.
Right?
But I'm going to, despite the injuries, I'm just going to go with the Niners. I feel like they're going to be coached better to win the game.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of siding that way, too, although I wouldn't be surprised if Chicago wins this one just because how maybe, you know, it's depleted the way this team is even right now. Morale,
there's even rumors now about Kyle Shanahan possibly being on the hot seat now.
I don't know. That's tough. I mean, we had those rumors a while ago about when they weren't hitting certain
I feel like that was last year.
It was a few years ago.
Right?
It was a few years ago. But... yeah, I don't know if it's exactly his fault.
I don't think you can blame him, though, this year, anyway.
Some people are, though, because, again, they're saying, hey, what's the difference here? You know, because even they look at it as say, Kyle Shanahan, you know, is saying, oh, this guy's doing well, this guy's doing well. All right, well, what is the problem? Maybe it's your play calling. You know, some people are even saying what George Kittle had said in his press conference, even though he didn't say anything directly, was saying that, well, Kyle Shanahan's not doing his job, not doing his thing, because he's like, oh, they're like, oh, you were able to get the ball early on. He's like, yeah, it wasn't. What happened after? He goes, oh, I didn't get the ball.
He was disappointed in that snow game in the Bills about not getting more opportunities. That's what that was about.
Right.
Wasn't about Kyle Shanahan, what he was calling. It was just like he thought that he was going to be more involved because of the weather.
Right.
Which
right,
makes
right,
sense
right. Yeah,
when you think about it.
Yeah.
But, hey, you know, we'll see how this all kind of unfolds, but I wouldn't blame Kyle Shanahan. I mean, not with the way this
season has gone. Well, I
wouldn't mess
up what you've had so long, too. You know what I mean? You don't let a coach like that walk away. No. It's like that just because of that.
I mean, it's okay. If you want to let him walk, that's fine. Other teams would more than gladly add him.
Yeah, exactly. All right, next up, we've got the Chargers and the Kansas City Chiefs here. This is a tough matchup here.
Ooh!
Kansas City at home here under the lights. Prime time, we know it. But I don't know, man.
I like it.
I don't know. There's something about the Chargers here. I think they got a potential to take
like
this one here with that defense. I think both defenses are going to play well. Patrick Mahomes is going to make his plays. Chargers have been able to beat them, you know, in the regular season in the past, Justin Herbert. So he's no stranger to that.
Yeah,
I would maybe tip the cap to Kansas City, but maybe they're not even playing for anything now because they do have it locked up.
We have to remember that the Kansas City Chiefs have the referees, too.
Yeah,
like it always seems to work in their favor.
Yeah, and they've got, you know, Collinsworth in the booth, too. You know, oh, yeah, Patrick Mahomes, you got to love him. You know,
I really am getting really sick and tired of the hype and the absolute love for Patrick Mahomes when he's not playing that well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, I get it. He's doing enough to get by and all that, but he's really having a down year for himself.
Yeah.
And nobody brings it up. It's like no one wants it. Oh, well,
no, it's not
did you see that
all.
Amazing throw? And I'm like, okay, what about the other two that he missed?
Yeah.
They don't talk about that. It's just like it's overdone. You know what I mean? It's just like too much. Like, just be honest. People can see it. They're watching it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just be honest about what's happening here.
Right.
Not sugarcoating everything.
Mm-hmm. I get it. I can see this one going to Kansas City, but you know what? I think I'm going to say the Chargers are able to get the Kansas City Chiefs on this one. Chargers are playing really good. The wide receivers kind of bother me, like I've said before, too. Mm-hmm. That could be a factor here, but I think the way Chargers are playing, they're playing tough. Kansas City still kind of lacks, not putting their all into it, especially now that they've clinched. I don't know if it's all there here on this one. I think I'm going to go with the Chargers on this one.
I think they're still going to put their all into it. They still got to hold on to that number one seed, you know?
Mm-hmm. No,
so they're going to continue to win, or at least continue to try to win, until they lock that number one seed in place. Yep. So, listen, I've been having a hard time with the Chiefs this year because they should have lost at least four or five games.
Yeah.
Should have.
Yeah.
But for one thing or another, they're still winning them. And the Chargers, if you remember, the last time they faced Kansas City Chiefs, it was down to a field goal. Like, it was really, really close, down to the very end of the game. I got to say, the Chargers from that point to now is much better football team.
Yep.
And I think this is going to be the caliber of team that the Chiefs are going to have to overcome, because they might face these guys again in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Give me the L.A. Chargers to upset the Chiefs.
All right, here we go. Oh, nice jumping on board on that one. And Monday Night Football, the Cincinnati Bengals and the Dallas Cowboys.
The Chiefs play again, everybody. Bengals and Cowboys. This is a train wreck of a game. That's all I got to say.
Right.
You have, on one side, you have the Cowboys who, I don't know, Cooper Rush looks like he's getting better now that he's kind of been the starter for a couple games.
Does his role.
Right,
I think he really doesn't put you in position to lose.
He's game manager.
I mean? He is a game manager, straight up.
And then you got the Cowboys defense, which I don't understand how teams are getting, or at least the last couple of weeks, it looks like teams are like, oh, we can't figure out the Cowboys. You know, we're struggling against them. Double team Micah Parsons.
Yeah.
That's all you got to do.
Yeah.
Bengals, I don't know. They looked rough, especially defensively last week. Do they even have it in them? You know what I mean? Like, they're pretty much done. And now you're playing for pride, really, is what it comes down to. Both teams, too. I don't care what Micah Parsons says on his podcast saying that, oh, we got a shot. We won our last couple of games. We're going to turn it around. I'm sorry, dude. You're way too far down the rabbit hole for that.
Yeah.
Jeez.
That's the mentality they've got right now, though.
In Dallas? Give me Cincinnati Bengals. I'm going to go with the offense just outscoring the Cowboys.
That's what I'm going to do, too, because, again, I'm trusting in looking at quarterbacks, looking at defense. Yes, I think it bounced out. Really great offense, good defense on the opposite side. So that's going to be your battles here.
Right.
But I think Cincinnati wins that battle with the weapons that they have here.
Right on.
And then also, I'm wondering, how about this? Seeing the way the season's gone, they're not going to make the playoffs. Does Zach Taylor, is his job in for jeopardy? Does all of a sudden he become on a hot seat?
I don't think so, because he's the offensive guy. Offense isn't the problem.
It's fine. It's the defense.
So I think
a lot of it is on head coach for winning.
If anything, Lou Amarillo loses his job after this year. He gets fired. They hire a new DC.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what's that's going to be the move.
Yeah, I guess
that I think is going to be the move.
Okay.
Now, here, I got another question for you since we're in this game.
Yeah, why not?
Dak Prescott recently told reporters that he is going to be 100% healthy and ready to go for OTAs next season.
Like, ooh.
But will he be a Cowboy? Because they still haven't agreed to a contract, you know?
They gave him the extension before the season started, the day right before it's, you know, they could, right on the deadline. They did.
They did give him a new one?
Yeah, they did. Yep.
How come I didn't remember that?
Yeah, it's because it was a long time ago, Joe. It's been a long time. But, yes, that's definitely.
Will he be a Cowboy, though, still?
Well, still. I mean, that doesn't mean they can't move on from or do whatever.
Think about who they got to re-sign still. Micah Parsons still needs a new deal. You know, DeMarcus Lawrence is going to be up after this season.
Yeah, I think he's gone.
Honestly,
that's their smart move.
The smart decision is not to re-sign him, but we know Jerry. He's very, you know, sentimental.
Yeah.
I just think there's going to be a lot of changes still with this Cowboys team and the team that they don't have that much money. Mm-hmm. So are they going to be able to hold on to Daron Bland? You know, are they going to be able to hold on to Micah? I mean, Micah Parsons got to be the number one guy.
Yeah, he's
got to
be the guy you definitely keep it, which I think he will. I don't think he's that dumb to not bring him in.
Well, but we hope.
Right. I always hope he is, though. Yes.
But, I mean, you know, it's one of those things where, like, I'm very curious to see what they do in the offseason for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll see when that bridge comes, though. But here we go, week 14 coming up. You know, week 13 is already in the books here. A lot of crazy football this season. It's up and down. Had a really good week with picks last week. You had 14 wins. I had 13. Very good. So hopefully we can continue that this week and move forward and get down to the playoffs time. It's getting exciting. We thank you so much for supporting us. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody, you know, out there. I hope you had some good times with your family members and got a chance to relax a little bit. And the holiday season's coming up. You know, give the gift that keeps on giving. Share some love. Share the videos. subscribe to the show. That's right. Go to our YouTube page, and it's Grumbling Media. And go to grumblingsmedia.com. And then also, wherever you get your podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Apple Music, we're all right there. So you can hear the early, audio version, too, as well. So thank you so much. And we will see you guys next time in the next one.